Lightning exploded from the sword, arcing up into the darkness overhead, jumping from one wall to the other, bathing them all in liquid light. The noise was deafening. Fire raced through the black stone until the whole of the tower glowed, the stone turning white in the heat of the luminous discharge. Richard felt as if the lightning were passing through him too. It seared him with its power, erupting outward and up through the sword. Only his rage enabled him to endure the ferocity of the onrushing force coming from within. Flickering webs of lightning cascaded down the walls and across the black sand until everything was alive with it. The black sand turned white, as had the walls, and the world burned with pulsing fire and light. Abruptly, it ended. The lightning cut off, the fire winked out, and the roar of noise ceased, leaving silence ringing in his ears. The polished black stone of the tower was left a blinding white gloss. Duchailu seemed still not to notice what was around her, and Richard pulled her onward to complete the task for which they both had been born. In the white tower, as he held the sword high, he expected the flash of heat and light again, but it did not come. Instead, the counter to it, the balance to it, exploded forth. Concussion ripped the air, threatening to strip flesh from bone as black lightning blasted upward, a void in the light. Like the lightning before, Richard felt the might of the power erupting from deep within himself, as if his very soul were pouring it forth. The snaking void in the light raked the walls and, with a thunderous roar, pierced a void into the darkness above. As the black lightning twisted into the darkness overhead, shadows oozed down the white walls, making it seem as if they were melting into the depths of eternal night. Darkness reached the ground and flowed toward them, soaking into the white sand, turning it black. Richard never gave thought to trying to escape the encroaching night. When it reached them, he felt as if they were being plunged into icy water. Duchailu, her eyes closed, shivered with the touch of it. Richard noted it, but through the wrath of the sword's magic, it was a distant sensation that only fed the anger. It seemed the whole world had vanished forever into inky obscurity. Light and vision were beyond even memory. Richard felt the undulating, twisting rope of the black lightning, the void in the world of life, cut off. Sudden silence replaced the cacophony. He could hear himself breathing hard. He could hear Duchailu doing the same. Light and life and warmth emerged from the cold void. Outside, through the arches in the stone, now glossy black where it was once white, Richard could see light coming through the thinning fog. The ground that before was baked and barren was now green and lush. Still holding hands, he and Duchailu stood in the archway, watching the haze and smoke lift on a world no one had seen in thousands of years. Hand in hand, they walked out into the cool air, across the thick grass, and through shafts of sunlight. The storms of spells were gone, the dark clouds they spawned evaporating as they lifted. The air smelled fresh and clean. The feel of life vibrated around them. The valley off to the pale blue line of mountains in the distance was lush and green. Groves of trees were gathered in places along meandering streams. Gentle rises overlaid each other in differing shades of green. Richard could understand why the Baka Banmana would want their land back. It was a place that simply looked like home. This was a place of light and hope that would have stayed in a people's heart throughout all the dark centuries. It was not a place that belonged to them. It was they that belonged to this place.
"You have done it, Kaharin," Duchailu said. "You have returned our home from beyond the mist."
Richard saw a few people scattered about in the distance, those who had been trapped in spells for untold years. They wandered aimless and confused. He had to find two, he knew. Sister Verna and Warren galloped toward them, bringing his horse. Before they had completely stopped, Richard was up on Bonnie. Duchailu thrust a hand up. She wanted to go with him. Reluctantly, he pulled her up behind.
"Richard," Warren said, "that was astonishing. How did you do it?"
"I haven't the slightest idea, Warren. I had been hoping you could explain it to me." Richard galloped Bonnie off in the direction he remembered seeing Chase and Rachel when he had been through the valley the first time. Warren and Sister Verna followed after. It wasn't long before he found them sitting on the bank of a brook. Chase, with his arm around Rachel's shoulders and his usual look of strained tolerance nowhere in evidence, looked confused. Richard swung his leg over Bonnie's neck and leapt down. "Chase, are you all right?"
"Richard, what's going on? Where are we?"
"We were coming to get you. You can't go..." He looked around.
"You can't go into the valley. Zed needs you. The veil is torn."
"I know." Richard handed the reins to Sister Verna and quickly introduced everyone. "My friends will explain it all to you." He put a knee to the ground in front of Rachel. The dark, amber-colored stone of tears hung on a chain around her neck, just as he remembered it.
"Rachel, are you all right? How do you feel?"
She blinked up at him.
"I was in a nice place, Richard."
"This is a nice place, too. You'll be fine now. Rachel, did Zed give you that stone?"
She nodded.
"He said you might want it, and I was to keep it for you until you came to get it."
"That's why I'm here, Rachel. May I have it, then?"
She smiled and pulled it over her head. Richard unclasped the chain and pulled the stone off. Holding it in his hand, he could feel its warmth and Zed's presence. The chain was too small for him. He handed it back to Rachel, telling her it looked prettier on her than it would on him, and then strung the stone onto a leather thong he had ready. He hung the Stone of Tears around his neck, along with the Aegil and the Dragon's Tooth. From the corner of his eye, he watched the distant dot growing in the sky.
"Richard," Warren said, "after seeing what I just saw with the towers, I have no doubt you can do what you say you can do. But you have no time to reach where you must go. Tomorrow the world is going to end if you don't get there. What are you going to do?" "Where is it we are going, my husband?"
Duchailu asked.
"We are not going anywhere, Duchailu. You are staying here with your people."
"Husband?"
Chase said, a scowl finally starting to creep onto his face.
"I am not her husband. It's just some silly idea she got in her head."
Richard watched the red shape growing high up in the sky.
"Look, I don't have time to explain it. Sister Verna and Warren can tell you about it."
Sister Verna, a suspicious frown on her face, took a step toward him.
"What are you going to do? Warren was right. You have no time."
In the distance, the red wings spread wide as the dragon plunged into a dive. Richard unhooked his pack from Bonnie, slinging it onto his back. He gave Bonnie's neck a goodbye hug. He hooked on the quiver and slipped the bow over his shoulder. From the corner of his eye, he watched the dragon plummet straight down.
"I'm going to have time. I must leave you now, sister."
"What do you mean you are leaving? How?"
At the last instant, the dragon pulled out of the dive, her long neck stretched out. Wings spread wide, she shot toward them at incredible speed, skimming along just above the ground.
"I have only one chance to reach my goal in time. I must fly."
"Fly?"
Warren and Sister Verna shouted together. Scarlet swept up with a roar. Everyone else saw her for the first time. Immense wings beat to slow the dragon's speed. Their clothes flapped in the sudden burst of wind. The grass all around flattened in the gusts. Warren, Sister Verna, and Duchailu stepped back in surprise. Scarlet settled to the ground as her forward speed was brought to a halt by her beating wings.
"Richard,"
Sister Verna said as she slowly shook her head.
"You have the oddest pets of anyone I've ever met."
"Red dragons are pets to no one, sister. Scarlet is a dear friend."
Richard trotted toward the huge red dragon glistening in the sunlight. Scarlet snorted a small cloud of gray smoke.
"Richard, how good to see you again. Since you called me so urgently with my tooth, I presume you are in trouble again, as usual."
"Trouble indeed, my friend." Richard patted a glossy red scale. "I've missed you, Scarlet."
"Well, I've already eaten. I guess I must instead give you a ride in the sky to work up an appetite. Then I will eat you."
Richard laughed.
"Where's your little one?"
Her ears twitched.
"Off hunting. Gregory is not so little anymore. He misses you and would like to see you."
"I would like to see Gregory, too. But I'm in a terrible hurry right now. I'm running out of time."
"Richard!"
Duchailu ran toward him.
I must go too. I must go where my husband goes.
Richard leaned toward Scarlet's ear as she lowered her head and peered at him with one yellow eye.
A little flame, Scarlet, he whispered. Just for effect, don't hurt her.
Duchailu leapt back with a squeal as a burst of fire charred the grass at her feet.
Duchailu, your land is returned to your people. You must stay with them. You are their spirit woman. They need you. They need your guidance. I would ask something else of you. Protect the towers that are on your land. I don't know if they can bring any harm, but as the Kaharin, I order that no one shall ever enter them. Guard them and keep all others out, too. Live in peace with others who would live in peace with you, but continue to practice with the blade so you may protect yourselves.
Duchailu drew herself up tall. The little strips of cloth on her prayer dress fluttered in the breeze, along with her thick black hair.
You are wise, Kaharin. I will see that it is as you say, until you return to your wife and your people.
Richard, Sister Verna said. Her face held a serious look. Do you know where Kaelin is?
Adendril. She would have gone there. The prophecy takes place before her people. She will be in Adendril.
The time of choosing is upon you, Richard. Where are you going now?
He looked long into her steady gaze.
Dahara.
After appraising him silently for a moment, she at last embraced him in a warm hug. She kissed his cheek.
And then?
Richard raked his fingers through his thick hair.
Somehow I will stop what is to happen in Dahara, and then I must get to Adendril before it's too late.
Take care, my friend.
She nodded.
Warren and I will see to the people here who have been released from the spells. They will need guidance. I have been a Sister of the Light for nearly 200 years.